Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that, I hope that you think of the word Bible. The Bible is such a wonderful book. And oftentimes on this program, and I'm working through these old Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of 1923, but I do not rush through them. And when he has scriptures references in there, I like to turn to the Bible and read them. And sometimes they're lengthy references. There have been a few programs on this radio Bible school in which I have simply used the whole time reading right out of the Bible. And if you have the Bible, you can follow along. And I enjoy doing this. The Bible is such a wonderful book. The very language of the Bible is beautiful, and it falls softly upon our ears and fills our hearts and minds with comfort and confidence and peace when we hear them. And it's because, not just because of the beautiful language in which we have the Bible, but also because of the beautiful things that are said by that language. And so we're going to be reading some in the Bible today. It won't be the entire program, but I'm going to be reading in just a moment from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. I had begun to read this story in our last class, and we simply ran out of time before we were through. And it's one of those most lovely stories about the compassion and the goodness of Jesus that surpasses all the goodness of every man that has ever lived. And particularly, it surpassed the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. And all this comes out in this story as this sinful woman is at Jesus' feet. And it's very similar to another anointing we're going to be studying about when we're studying about the anointing of Mary, the sister of Martha, when she anointed Jesus on another occasion. And these two stories are often confused, but I want to read this one first, and then we'll go into that story about Mary, the sister of Martha. So while you're turning in your Bible to Luke chapter 7, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. It is such a beautiful setting, and you will enjoy the lovely drive out that Biola Road until you come to the building. If you're coming from McMinnville, you'll find it on the right, and if you're coming from Biola, you will find it on the left, with the mountain out in front of the building. And then across the road from the mountain is the little meeting house where we gather together. And we gather together there for Bible study and for worship. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. If you enjoy simple, spiritual worship of God, and if you enjoy learning things about the Bible, then you will want to come to one of our assemblies and be part of that with us, and you would be so welcome. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you this story that we find in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And it begins this way. And one of the Pharisees, desiring him that he would eat with him, and he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and to wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, "Teacher, say on." A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed him 500 shillings and the other 50. And when they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them therefore will love him the most? Simon answered and said, "He, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath wetted my feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that even forgiveth sins?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now with that, we want to go to another anointing that was done upon Jesus, and this one by Mary, the sister of Martha. We read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, "And while he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. And there came a woman having an alabaster curse of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she brake the curse and poured it over his head." Who was this Simon? And what was it mean, Simon the leper? Well, we don't know exactly who he was. Jesus healed many lepers, and Simon was probably one he had formerly healed and who had showed his gratitude by entertaining Jesus and his disciples. He was a friend and perhaps maybe even a relative of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Having stated that Jesus had risen Lazarus from the dead at Bethany, John 12, 1 and 2 says, "So they made him a supper there." This was in appreciation, it seems, of what he had done. It is not stated how many engaged in making the supper. Martha served, as was her custom, Luke 10 and verse 40. Lazarus sat at the table with Jesus. And Mary, well, Mary anointed him. This woman was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And we know this because of what we read in John chapter 11 and verse 2. An alabaster curse was a flask or a vase made of alabaster with a small neck, and it held a pound of ointment. Alabaster was a kind of stone out of which they carved ornamental vases, curses, and things such as that. And it was considered the best material in which to preserve ointments. Spikenard was an aromatic plant of which this ointment was made. From an early date, it was imported from Arabia, India, and the Far East, and was highly prized by the ancients. It was an exceeding precious ointment. John says there was a pound of it, and Judas estimated its worth at 300 shillings, about $50 in our money. Well, that's Elam writing, our money in 1923. It would be considerable more for us now. But the money then would buy several times as much as it does now in Jesus' day. So for us, it would be quite an expensive amount of ointment bottled up this way. A shilling was the price of that day's labor by a common hand. A pound was 12 ounces. Hence, this ointment was worth about $400 an ounce then, equivalent to $12 to $15 now. The mouth of this curse would let out only a small quantity at a time. Hence Mary broke the curse that the ointment might come out freely. It was all for Jesus, and she bestowed it all upon him. the Jews reclining at the table with their feet extended behind them, as was their custom, while Jesus sat thus at meat, Mary came up behind him and broke the vase and poured the ointment on his head, and stooping down, anointed also his feet and wiped them with her hair. Anointing the head was an act of respect. Opening the curse and pouring out the ointment filled the house with its sweet odor. This perfume may have been, to some, the first notice of what had to be done. It has been truly said, the service to Christ is full of fragrance to all within reach of its influence. However, everyone in Simon's house was not pleased. We read in Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. But there were some that had indignation among them, saying, To what purpose hath this waste of ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for above 300 shillings and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Matthew speaks in general terms and says, His disciples were indignant when they saw this and asked, To what purpose is this waste? Mark says there were some who felt thus and asked these questions. But John 12, verses 4 and 5 says, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, asked this. Judas led in this matter, while perhaps he influenced some of the rest to join him in his complaint. In this rich gift of love, the money-loving Judas could see nothing but waste. He said the ointment could have been sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor, but John adds, Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having a bag took away what was put therein. This little company had a treasury, and Judas was the treasurer, but as some treasurers now, he was a thief. As all corrupt men, he concealed his true motive. Bad men offer good motives for their evil deeds. The devil frequently does that. By pleading the cause of the poor, Judas doubtless won some of the unsuspecting disciples over to his side. Money-loving men today sometimes lead astray the innocent and good by offering a good motive for the accomplishment of evil deeds. Even covetous and bad men are ashamed to acknowledge their real motives. This wicked Judas, who valued the waste of the ointment at 300 shillings, sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver, at just about $15 or $20. But then we read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 6, But Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. You see, Jesus perceived. He perceived that his disciples and felt this indignation. And so he said unto them, Why trouble you the woman? For she wrought a good work on me. Matthew 26 and verse 10. This lesson and John say, Let her alone. That's the King James Version. That is, do not hinder her in the performance of this good deed. It would have caused her pain if Jesus had not accepted the gift, or if she had been interrupted as if she was performing some kind of sinful act. It was a good work, because it was done for Jesus as an expression of gratitude and devotion. This ointment cost the Bethany family no small amount, but nothing was too good to lavish upon Jesus. This expression of love Jesus did not consider a waste. This sentiment he encourages. The disciples judged this act by principle of mere utility, but Jesus did not. Every expression of love today is not to be estimated by utility alone. The pure motive and unmixed love which prompt a gift adds to its value. I heard a story once about a little boy that brought his teacher a small bottle full of sand. She said, Where did you get this sand? He said, I got it at the beach. She said, But the beach is a day's journey away. How did you get there? He said, I walked there and back over the weekend. You see, the journey is part of the gift.